All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my darling co-host, Squirrel Rourke. Hi, Squirrel.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everyone.
We're still having phone challenges, everybody, so bear with us. If you have questions tonight, and Squirrel, if you want to give them your email address.
Yes, it's Squirrel, Squirrel, at WYOM.net.
Perfect.
Please send your questions in.
You can send those in during the show, and we'll address them if we have time. Okay, tonight's show, loving yourself, the most important thing you can do. You cannot change your life unless you're willing to truly love yourself. How do you do that? Spend time every day with the beliefs that you hold about you. Change them, even if you don't yet believe them. As a spark of the infinite, it's imperative to love yourself. All the other beliefs you desire to change will be easier and more elegant from that place. From flawed to wonderful, because that is who you really are. Wonderful, beautiful, powerful, we'll throw in handsome, and amazing. Tonight's going to be a beautiful night. I know the team is really wanting to work with all of us and to believe that we deserve to love and be loved. And Squirrel, you've got an astrology report for us?
Of course I do. The astrology has just been, you know, we have three major eclipses in a row, and it's unusual because usually they come in pairs. So hang on, everyone. We're almost through this. It's a Sagittarius lunar eclipse on May 24th and 25th, which, you know, that's tomorrow and Saturday, depending on where you live. And I think it's almost at midnight Eastern time tomorrow. So it's a powerful full moon of 2013. It's the third of the three eclipses in a row. And this eclipse also involves a super moon, which means the moon is as close as it ever gets to the Earth. And it's a straight alignment with the sun and the Earth. So it's extra potent because of its proximity to Earth. Also important to note, this is a north node eclipse, which is associated with Jupiter, the ruler of Sagittarius, being the Sagittarius lunar eclipse, the bringer of expansion and opportunity. So north node is the direction where we're headed, our life in this direction. So it's powerful. It can bring up old feelings and memories dealing with the experience of being taught to separate and categorize people, things, and events without really knowing ourselves what that thing was. There you go, the beliefs, huh, Jackie? Sagittarius empowers you to stay on your path. Even when the road twists and turns, you can feel vibrant, healthy, and strong. It also follows an extremely challenging square that we just had between Pluto and Uranus this past Monday, May 20th, requiring many people to make significant changes. You might ask yourself about who you need to be in order to fully live your destiny with courage and passion. And this comes from Helene Lipson. So powerful week.
Good
everyone.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's big stuff.
Well, and I will say, and I find this really fascinating, the more I work with beliefs, the less I'm impacted by astrology. Now, I have to say, this is a phenomena I did not expect.
Well, that's astrology is out there to be out there. It doesn't rule you, but it's, you know, it's just like anything else. You know, it's happening around you, and so it's just important to take note of it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just, you know, I just wanted to throw in there that the more you take responsibility for your own life, your beliefs and all kinds of things, I just find that, and this just happened to me, was the less I'm impacted by astrology. Normally, you know, an eclipse of this or that, you know, keeps me awake, I can't sleep, so on. Didn't feel any of it this week. It may be that I'm just unusually tired. I don't know.
Well, if you can sleep through it, more power to you.
Okay, so let's get into the night show. All right, we've developed beliefs about ourselves from a number of experiences and sources, and most of them are false. We pull them in from our lineage, other lifetimes, parents, siblings, school, television, magazines, books, and just plain life. This is a beautiful note that I received this afternoon, and I got permission to share it. But an example of how powerful things can really be, especially about ourselves. Dear Jackie and team, I'm writing this because I want to say thank you. I feel I need to share to help make this real for me. I'm dedicated and have been working on anger and the pain beneath, and so much more. I listened to last week's show again this morning and found new information. It was wonderful, and I'm grateful for your sharing, Jackie. I've been working with my adolescent being stuck in my beliefs about her, which she also has beliefs about herself and my beliefs about me, and recognizing and owning how amazing I am. Forgiveness and self-love seem to be the theme these last few days, allowing myself to experience and discover. This morning I called upon my higher self as I wrote my beliefs. I would ask my wonderful friend at times for assistance. I found myself deep within the pain I have been carrying for so long. Shame, stuck in the dark, I went to me and I heard myself say this belief. I believe I brought shame to the family. I have worked with handing this back, yet there was something hidden. I took responsibility, which I found took away the hidden blame and shame that I continued to harbor, the shame that I had put on me. When I was 12 or 13, I got pregnant, never talked about it. Everything was kept secret in the family. Don't want the neighbors to know. And there I was stuck and spiraling into more and more shame, kind of a shame magnet. Insert laughter, she's got here. Isn't that amazing? I feel no attachment to this now. Anyway, my family was splitting up right around that timing also. I've kept this deep within, never talked about it except my inner negative dialogue. Or that's what I thought. Ha! There is that projection stuff we humans do. I committed and decided to go in and change that belief, and I heard myself talking out loud to my adolescent and child within about this belief, and the belief that nothing works for me, into everything absolutely works for me easily, along with many more of my belief list about myself. Then off through the process of changing them. Again, I found myself speaking them out loud, and when I would change one of the beliefs, I found myself blowing life into it, seeming to be natural to do that. Even when the ego jumped in with right and wrong, I gave it a lollipop and added a note to change that belief. I then got to the shame-based belief, and as I spoke the new belief out loud, I absolutely believe I am courageous in bringing out the family shame. I began to cry, tears rolling from a distant yet not so distant past. Something different, joy tears. Then laughing, crazy and wild laughing and crying. My body began to shake all over, laughing and more shaking altogether. Seemed to last for a long time. It felt wonderfully different. This laughter, I do not remember hearing this laughter coming out of me before, seemed so foreign and so freeing. As I moved on to the next belief to change, I was cracking up at how silly they were. Something in me lightened, not so serious. My body lightened. My perceptions shifted. I even opened my eyes to peek out to make sure I was still in the same place I started. Such a bright white light was filling the room, and it feels to me that this belief was one I've carried for such a long time, beyond this life and the ones before. I feel its ripple move through me and my reptilian family and friends, my family I grew up with, and the earth. When I was done, I saw the trees glowing. I wonder if this is truly the lifting and healing of shame and pain. I really do not know how to explain it. Here is the amazing thing. When I am writing about this now or even thinking about it, well, it feels like I do not even know that person then. I feel a depth of courage. Maybe it's a rebirth of courage, confidence, and love for me. My love for me. I do not feel the attachment or the familial pain in my heart. Whatever it is, I'm nurturing it. I believe, feel, and experience my belief that I am courageous. I was asked not to use names, and I thank this person for having the courage to share this incredible story. But this is the depth at which we carry these beliefs about ourselves. They don't have to be necessarily that extreme, but they're there. I've been working personally with beliefs about loving myself, and I worked with a dear friend last night about her beliefs about loving herself. And we're so close, I knew it would be easy for me to hit home with her. And I can say it was more powerful than even I could have believed. The tears streamed as we hit one belief after another, and these beliefs stemmed mainly from her childhood. I found it amazing how sensitive children can internalize things to this degree. Just deciding to love yourself isn't enough. You have to find the beliefs that you hold that stand in the way of loving yourself, and that means getting very real. I've heard people say to me, oh, I love myself, but when you look at the reality, you just know that they don't really love themselves. Many people were taught through religion and that it's not good to love yourself, and God loves you, but you're a sinner and not worthy of love. This is such a huge conflict because it's taught so very young. These are some of the beliefs that we worked with last night, and I want to share them with you because every time these new beliefs come up, if there are people listening, it may hit home for you. One is, my body is not young enough. Okay? And the corresponding belief, that was the negative belief. My body is young for my age and beautiful. I'm not smart enough. Now, again, I wrote the counter beliefs because I know her. She would not go there. I'm intelligent, funny, witty, sweet, loving, and entertaining. I believe that I'm average. This person is anything in the world but average, but this is the belief that she carried. I'm exceptional in all areas of my life, and people love me, and they do. I believe that I excel in any area. I excel in every area of life, and she does. This is the amazing thing to me. I keep myself small so as not to rock the boat. Negative belief. I allow myself to be all that I can be without fear of judgment. This was huge for her, the fear of judgment, growing up in a religious family. All right? Who were powder keggy, okay? You know, could flare at any moment. Not the mother, but the father. And not because he was a bad guy. He drank. I endear myself with self-deprecation. And I don't know if any of you have ever noticed. I think we all, in our own way, do a little self-deprecation just to make things light. People love me without me having to make myself small, because that's a form of making yourself small. I always say I could do it, get away with it, but maybe I can't. But I laugh at myself. Not needing to make myself small. I may play with it, but it's not about, you know, it's just that I have a very twisted sense of humor. I don't really believe I need to have it all because I don't. All right. And it wasn't a matter of her saying she didn't believe she needed to have any more because she doesn't have any or whatever she has. To her, it was really interesting. She's a very spiritual being and very loving being, and she kept going on about how happy she was, life is simple, and so on. And, you know, and I said to her, wait a minute, there's something not right in here. So I wrote the counter belief. It's okay for me to have it all because I'm a spark of the infinite, experiencing itself through me. It was almost as though she was uncomfortable with having more. I believe that I'm not really good at anything. These, just so you know, these were shocking beliefs when they came out. I can excel at everything and anything I do. I believe I'm not desirable. I am desirable. I believe that I'm not desirable because I'm old. I am desirable, attractive. My body is beautiful or handsome, whatever the case may be. I'm not comfortable in my own skin. I can't accept myself. I'm comfortable in my own skin and allow myself to be free and sensuous. This was a big one. I have to tell you, going through this process with someone else, especially somebody you love, you realize, and as these beliefs came up, there was a lot of emotion behind them. A lot of emotion. There was a sense of discovery as I would throw ideas out, and we'd get to it. And sometimes just changing one word in the sentence, the tears would flow. I avoid confrontation at all costs. I express my displeasure with ease and comfort. I'm afraid of my rage and other people's anger. Now, this comes from the child, no question about it. I channel my rage comfortably and accept other people's anger without being afraid. I make excuses for other people's needs. I honor my own needs, desires, and feelings. And, you know, a lot of us do this. This comes from a place of not loving yourself, where you tend to everybody else's needs and not your own, and or put other people's needs before your own. And we had a long discussion on this one. I have no boundaries. She doesn't. I honor my own boundaries and preferences. And again, I'm sharing these because I realized in talking with her last night that to meet this person, she is beautiful, she's adorable, she's funny, she's witty, she's incredibly bright. And truly doesn't know it. Truly doesn't own it. Very interesting. I was fascinated. But I think some of these beliefs may hit home for some of you. And I really want to say it's so important to be honest with yourself and to do some processing and then begin with beliefs. And I also want to say it really doesn't matter if you don't really believe the new beliefs. We had this discussion last night. So, well, I can't believe that. And I said, look, I'm writing these down. Your job is to read them every day and, you know, she's got the process for belief changing. But again, some people, and it's not because they're stupid. It's not because they're not amazing beings. It's not because they're not highly spiritual. Some children who are so sensitive, star beings out there, got so damaged. that you made yourself small to keep everybody else happy. And it never changed. You know, Bonnie has a beautiful process on her website for changing beliefs. You know, work with your higher self, your guides, with God, Goddess, all that is. We have help to do this work. This is not, and I'm telling you, you're all pre-wired, okay? Pre-wired. And for some of you, as you change your beliefs about yourself, it's about loving yourself, okay? Just read them every day. Flow energy to them. Trust that you'll be assisted in letting the new belief in. I changed some major beliefs about myself. And what I found, and Squirrel, you and I had this conversation earlier.
Mm-hmm.
There were things in there that I was amazed at how much more loving it made me feel, how much more loving towards myself and consequently towards everybody else. I've always thought I was a pretty loving person. What I realized, though, is I was giving it all out there, but I wasn't giving it to myself. And as a result, I was great at helping other people create the life of their dreams, but I really wasn't doing it for myself. And that is self-sacrifice. That's not what we came here to do. And what was it you brought up earlier, Squirrel, about the world?
About love, I think that I said that once you learn to love yourself, it's so much easier to accept people and love them. I mean, you get more to a place of neutrality. You're not being judgmental or nitpicky on them. You allow them the space to express who they are more gracefully. It just flows better. But I think that a lot of the edge and rub comes from when you don't love yourself and then you see somebody who irritates you and you know what I'm saying. So,
well, I think a lot of the irritation aspect comes from if you don't love yourself, things are going to trigger you because you
exactly.
don't love yourself.
Exactly.
Okay, how dare they complain when they're so beautiful, so rich, so happy, so this, they have the perfect husband or the perfect body or the perfect this or the perfect that. When you realize that you are a reality creator, there's nothing, absolutely nothing to be jealous of. You want to encourage everyone to have it all. It's absolutely natural. Letting in abundance, success, health, the love of a partner, or whatever you're intending to create in your life is dependent on you believing that you deserve it. And you can't believe you deserve it if you don't love yourself. I mean, this is just, you simply won't allow it in, or you will mess it up, sabotage it. Another one is beliefs about aging. How much do we hear about beliefs about aging, Squirrel?
It's every day. It's totally in the collective, right? And particularly,
absolutely.
I think more so for women.
And I live in a community where all I hear these women talk about aging. And, you know, I have the mirror of denial.
Find a patent, nothing.
I still believe the best me is yet to come. And I think because of that, and I don't think that's delusional, it's something I really do actually believe. I get excited every day, and because I really know where, I'm sorry, this really sounds arrogant. I do know where we're going. We're going, and I've always known it, where we have the ability to change, reverse, shift our aging. and to do it through beliefs. And Bonnie will write the book. I promise you, she's already writing book two, The Map to Abundance. Okay, this is a big one. I hear from people all the time that they want to attract their soulmate or their twin flame or whatever the description du jour is, you know, at the time. And I have to say this, I know I've said it before, you cannot attract someone like that until you truly love yourself enough to believe you deserve it. You'll settle for something less because that's what you've always done, or attract someone that looks good and then things change and you end up being disappointed and they turn into something totally different than what you thought they were. But to believe that you're going to attract love when you don't love yourself, it creates a twist in the relationship. You're looking to get something from someone else that you won't give to you. And that doesn't work. I mean, you can try, you know, here we go with a square peg in the round hole. It's never going to happen.
I'm going to change my belief about that.
What?
I just said, I'm just laughing. I said, I'll change my belief about the square peg round hole, but go on.
Okay. It either won't last, it'll turn sour, or you're going to end up terribly disappointed every time. And the team said this to me weeks back. Okay. If you go back to an old relationship, you'll create the same thing you created before because you haven't changed your beliefs. So go back to the game board. Okay. And become the same pleaser with no boundaries, making excuses for others' behaviors. And I'm like, okay. Which is what really got me moving on changing beliefs. And it's working all over the place. This also brings up something really important that somebody, I was talking to somebody else about changing beliefs, another friend. Can you change someone else? The answer is no. You can change your experience of them. And honestly, I think this is a whole show because it's an aspect of belief changing that we don't, you know, really haven't talked much about. When you change your beliefs about someone, they're going to show up differently in your life. And we get into quantum physics and aligning with a different version of them, et cetera. All of you listening to the show have been around long enough that I know you get these things, but if you take someone out there who doesn't, I'm sure Bonnie has written about it somewhere and, you know, is able to bring it forward in a way they can understand. I have to go to science. We will get... talk about this more at another time, though, because I think it's so important. And, Squirrel, I can feel you in my head saying, go into channel.
See, now you're tuned into me. We're on the same frequency. Yes.
Yes, there we go. It's because I love myself. Okay.
As you said.
And I'm discovering new beliefs every day.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that the truth?
All right, well, needless to say, we were cued in late, all right? And that's fine. We'd love to see you working with this material, everyone. It is life-changing. It is time for all of you to believe you can have the life that you truly desire and you have the ability to create it. We celebrate Bonnie for the work she's brought forward. We've been working with all of you on beliefs for a very long time. Her process, wonderful. And for all of you, all right, we hope you're all reading the book, for all of you, this is just the beginning of where you're all going, and it's time. It is time for you to have lives beyond anything you could have imagined before. One of the challenges you're going to have with beliefs, and the channel brought it up during her time and ours, right? Is the potential that you're going to have a difficulty accepting the new belief. Now, especially for those of you who have been incredibly self-critical. Someone asked the channel, you can't change this thing about me and my body. And her answer was, oh, yes, you can. How do you know how your cells are going to respond to the change in belief until you try it? And that answer is accurate. You're in a new frontier here, people. And we expect all of you to experience things that may be absolutely shocking, shockingly good, not bad, exciting, empowering, thrilling. For some of you, if you hold the belief, we appreciate the person that wrote in, that nothing ever works for me, we recommend that you do a lot of work around that belief and change it immediately. And yes, this will work for you. We promise you it will. Even for some of you that with the arms crossed say, well, I'm going to change one belief and see what happens. All right. But when you start processing that belief and why you have the belief, where it came from, and really do some work around it and feel it, you'll get it. You'll get it. This is big stuff. This is the power that was taken from all of you for a very long time ago. When it came to the planet, several thousand years ago, it was hidden again. And now, it's yours. And you can change anything and everything about your lives. Truly, you can. Loving yourself may be the biggest challenge, but it's got the greatest reward for you, just for you. You'll begin to treat yourself differently. Even to touch your body, put on your lotions or your aftershave or whatever you may do. Develop an intimate relationship with you. And we have to say, most of you don't really have one. You keep it outside of yourself. That tends to be safer. But you've developed these beliefs about yourself from outside of yourself. If you take a baby and treat it with just unbelievable love and isolate it from your world, it will never know anything but love. But you've all been in the world. You've all had parents, right? And those parents had damage, and they passed that on to you. They don't do it intentionally. They're not mean and cruel. But they do it nonetheless. And religion does it. Here you are, a child, being told that you're a sinner. Heaped with shame. And what does that do about your belief about yourself? Well, it makes you feel incredibly flawed. A flaw that can't be healed. Right. And from that place of being flawed, how do you even get on even ground? You're not flawed, people. You're beautiful. You're powerful beyond anything as of yet you can imagine. And the exciting part, the exciting, truly exciting part, is you've been given a map. And the map works. And there are enough people out there that have proven to themselves, that came to it with their hearts open, willing, to walk through the steps of loving himself. And we support all of you in doing this. The channel keeps saying, oh, everybody's, we're pre-wired, I can feel it. Yes, in many ways you are. No question about it. We could say it's cellular memory of a distant time when you truly knew how to do this. You are pre-wired in more ways than you know. All right, Squirrel, you've got questions for us.
I do. I have a few questions, yes. The first question comes from Christopher, and he writes, loving myself in the past was an impossible task. Feeling empty inside, struggling with shame and guilt prevented me from seeing Christopher. One of the tools I use today is changing how I think. I also try to make all my decisions from my heart. This helps me stay out of my head. Taking this approach has given me a loving relationship with self. When I stop the analyzer in my head, this deflates my ego and helps me come back to my heart. Then I know I am home. Kind regards, Christopher.
Oh, Christopher, we do love you. And yes, if everyone was able to do that, that would be lovely. Beliefs are still the basis, and we thank you for sharing that, Christopher. You see, again, and you're right, the negative ego will look for an inroad, anyone they can find. So what Christopher has done is tried very hard to bypass ego by going right from heart instead of head. More difficult for the negative ego to get in there when you're operating out of your heart. You all have, all right, several things that get in the way. One is shame. The other is this sense of being flawed. That there is some intrinsic flaw that you can't fix and you don't really know what it is. And this is why you see very beautiful, successful people who don't love themselves. Just read your magazines. Become self-destructive It screams, I don't love myself. Someone in there has also believed that they don't deserve it all. And many of them destroy it all, and many times in the process destroy themselves. And this, dear ones, is living proof that if you don't love yourself, no matter how much you receive, you run a very strong potential for destroying it all, including you. When you truly do love yourself, you can walk through it elegantly, easily, effortlessly. And you can create it all, there is no question. Christopher, we do love you, and we know that you live in a very magical place. Christopher lives in Ireland. Christopher made magnificent shifts and changes in his life. We love you, Christopher, and you know that we love and support you always. Thank you so much for sharing with us. All right, you've got another one, Squirrel.
I do. This one comes from Yolanda, and she writes, Dear team, I have been working really hard to love myself, and I started to see a difference in me. I have the sense of love that overwhelms me. I have been doing this meditation that helps me to, hence, have love for myself and for others. One thing I believe that I have to work on is to stay and come center and not get frustrated. I have been receiving signs from the universe that indicate that I will be receiving what I ask for in abundance, and I know that it's going to take some time to get it. Yesterday, I kind of got frustrated, but instead of feeling sorry...
Hold it right there. Squirrel.
Okay.
Squirrel.
Yes.
All right, we want to stop you mid, and then you can finish the note from Yolanda.
Okay.
Yolanda, you got a message from the universe that it was coming. And then you state it's going to take some time. That's a belief. Whatever it is, all right, write the old belief. It's going to take time for me to get what I really want. What I truly want or need or prefer comes out of the blue in ways I can't imagine. Open up the door. Don't assume that whatever you're wanting to create or choosing to create or intending to create by changing your beliefs isn't going to come tomorrow. Try not to dictate to the universe. We really do recommend that. You're dealing with a neutral quantum field. Allow it to come in. Anyway, it's going to come in. This or more, something greater. Don't put a limit. Don't put a time frame. Allow for miracles. This or something greater with Om Janan, you never know how things are going to come. All right, go on with the message, Squirrel.
Okay. Some of this I edited, but I think the essence will still be here. Okay, so she goes on to say, yesterday I kind of got frustrated, but instead of feeling sorry for myself, I forgave myself, and then I went and did my meditation again. Once I was done meditating, I felt at peace, joy, and I felt this great love that God and Goddess had braced me, infusing their love and light on me. This was really magical. And she mentions a few meditations that she does, and her final question is, do you see the difference in me?
Oh, yes. Dear Yolanda, we see a tremendous difference in you. A tremendous difference in you. Now, we do recommend that you sit down and write some beliefs about lack. This comes from your lineage. All right? It was modeled for you in many, many ways. Now, Yolanda grew up in another country where there was definitely more lack than abundance. She grew up in Mexico, where struggle was normal, where people worked incredibly hard. They worked to survive. All right? Lack became normal, ordinary, expected. Abundance, all right, was something only a few people ever found, had experienced. Remember not to weight it, Yolanda. Weight, W-E-I-G-H-T. Don't make it real heavy. Try to make it light. Now, that's easy for us to say when you are looking at it as something major that you need. But creating flow, all right, in your life also requires the cooperation of everyone in the family. Everyone. And that's about boundaries. You all live here, you all eat at the table, you all experience the electricity and so on. Everyone should be contributing. You're all adults. What many of you do is worry. Oh, this is my job. I'm the worrier. How am I going to make this happen? Yes, of course, there's a tremendous difference in you, dear one. Write a belief about worry, because worry does not assist you in creating what it is you desire. It closes it off. It makes it heavy. We thank you for sharing, dear Yolanda. And we love that you went to the beautiful places you went to feel supported, to feel loved, to feel nurtured. And again, nurture you. Write your beliefs about you, about being lovable, that you are loved, and you are supported by the universe. That's where the money comes from. Whoever signs the paycheck is just a go-between. Remember that. All right, Squirrel, do you have a question? Do we have time?
We have a little bit of time. I wanted to ask you how you feel about when we do get to a place of completely loving ourselves, how that will reflect out universally. Or is that another show?
Well, that's a very good question. Well, we'll tell you how it's going to work on your planet.
Okay.
The more you love yourself, the more you radiate love. The more you attract love, the more you attract things that resonate with love. All right? ease, yes. abundance, elegance, anything and everything. All right? Peace. Peace. All right? Now, you still do your beliefs about other things. We know very loving people who complain a lot because mm-hmm. they see themselves as loving and everybody else isn't. So we have to put that caveat in there. When you truly love yourself, you won't attract chaos, etc. You may, but if you do, immediately sit down, look at it. Why did I attract this? All right? Why is it coming into my experience? Remember, all right, you either project or it's reflected to you. Somewhere in there is a belief about non-peace, non-love. That's what you want to ferret out. But overall, you radiate, you become a transmitter of love. And if there are enough of you, you change the resonance, right?
Yes.
Of the planet, don't you? Of humanity.
Absolutely. And we're going to have to close this,
yes, we are.
For this evening.
All right. We need to tell all of you, we would love to work with you tonight to help you recognize the places that you don't love yourself. When you sit down tomorrow morning early with your cup of coffee, just start writing negative beliefs, right? You can go back and change them later. Just write all the things and see what comes through. They may surprise you a lot. We hope they will. And then tomorrow, keep a little tablet or something with you, a piece of paper, just to jot things down during the day.